Heavenly Father, once again, we just come to you with thanksgiving. As we reflect on the birth of your Son, as we reflect on the life of your Son, knowing that he came with a purpose, and that purpose was to die on the cross and pay the price for our sins. Lord, we just pray now that as we turn to your word, that our hearts and minds would be open to what you have for us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think of anticipation. When we anticipate an event or we anticipate something that is going to happen, it usually drives us to action. As a result, you know, if you anticipate going on a cruise, you may begin to save up some money. You may begin to pack a few clothes. You may buy a few things that to get prepared to go. And if some of you were anticipating going up north this time of year, and you live down in Florida, it would drive you to action. You would pack a coat. You would make sure that you had something other than flip-flops and so forth. Or maybe you're anticipating, if you're a young person, you're anticipating getting married. You would begin to look for a place to live. You would begin to save money. Or maybe you're the parent of a child who's getting married, and in anticipation of the wedding, you might try to take off a few pounds because you know there are going to be pictures. But anticipation takes place when we believe something is going to take place in the future. And I think about that as Christians. We are called to anticipate what God has in store for us. We are to anticipate that God is going to keep his promises. We are to anticipate that someday we will be in his presence forever. We are to anticipate that someday our faith will become sight. We're to anticipate that Jesus is going to call his church home. The rapture will take place. And I believe as we anticipate the future events that God has promised, it can change the way that we live our lives. As we anticipate these things, we may strive to please God with our lives. We may strive to serve him with our life. We may strive to bring glory to his name. But I fear with some of the events that have taken place over the past few years, or maybe even the past 10 years, we've lost sight of this anticipation. You know, I just watched a local news story this past week, and it was talking about churches, local churches who were the pastor and the priest. They were talking across different denominations. We're talking about how attendance had gone down before the pandemic. The reality is, it seems few churches are doing well these days. At least churches that are preaching the gospel message. There are some, we see churches out there who refuse to preach against sin. They preach a message that makes everyone feel good. And then we also have those stories of men who used to stand behind the pulpit, who used to preach the gospel message, used to preach the truth of God's word, who are no longer doing so, have turned their backs on God and turned their backs on their faith. As a result, I fear many have lost a sense of anticipation, possibly even begin to doubt God. What about you this morning? Are you living in anticipation of what God is going to do? Or have you let the events of our day bring doubts into your minds? This morning, I pray that you will be encouraged as we look at a familiar story. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. The story of Christ's birth is a reminder to us all that God is faithful to keep his word. You know, before Jesus was born, it was a difficult time for the nation of Israel. There was a lot of unrest for the nation. They were under the authority of the Roman government. It was a time filled with doubt. They had gone 400 years without hearing anything from God. No prophecies, no visions, no dreams. And I wonder how this must have affected their faith. Maybe they had given up on keeping the law's requirements. Maybe they had stopped making sacrifices. But I believe there had to be a few that continued to offer sacrifices, continued to worship, anticipating that they once again would hear from God. As we look at the Christmas story, we see that the silence was broken. We see that an angel would appear to Zacharias and he would, as he was ministering in the temple, and say that his wife Elizabeth would have a son and they should name him John. 6 months later, another angel would visit a teenage girl and explain to her that she was going to miraculously have a baby boy. She would conceive of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. Within a little while, the same angel would pay a visit to Joseph, explaining that what was taking place in Mary was of the Lord, telling him not to be afraid. And everything that the angels had said was true. Elizabeth did have a son. Mary was found with child. She and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem as Caesar had ordered a census to be taken. And during that time, Mary would deliver a baby boy. And they would lay him in a manger to rest. And you know, and I think about it, up until this time, not too many people knew what was going on. We know for sure that four people knew the significance of Jesus and his birth. We know for sure that Mary and Joseph knew. We know for sure that Zacharias and Elizabeth knew. We could assume maybe Mary's parents, but we don't really know for sure, but we know four knew that Jesus was not just an ordinary child. But that's about to change as we continue on in our passage this morning. If you follow along, we'll read in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. As we read, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For it is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which had been told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told them. And I think about as we Jesus is born and he's back in the manger with Mary and Joseph. You know, and often we think about Christmas morning, we celebrate the birth of Christ, but if Christmas is actually the day that Jesus was born, it happened last night, right? And so last night, Jesus would have been born, and again, Mary and Joseph are the only one to really know about it. Meanwhile, we have these shepherds nearby watching their sheep in verse 8. That there are some who believe that these shepherds were, since they were just outside of the city of Bethlehem, they speculate that they were, because they were close to the city, that they were tending the sheep that would have been used for the Passover celebration. They have no clue what's gone on in the city. Mary didn't have a Facebook account or Twitter. You know, they would not receive any notifications on their phones that night. But yet God would choose to announce the birth of his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to these shepherds. And what's interesting, shepherds were looked down upon. They were often dirty. They were often ceremonially unclean. And you wonder, why would God choose them? I don't know how many of you have ever lived in a farming community. Anybody? Farming community? Few hands? You know, we just moved from Galveston, Indiana. Most of you probably never heard of it. We didn't even have a stoplight. We had a four-way stop. That was it. Farming community. Lots of pig farmers. And we had a little mini-mart. And, you know, and when the pig farmers would come in from the barns to the mini-mart, a lot of people tried to get out of the mini-mart. Because they came in with their boots on. And I don't know if I have to tell you much more. Because usually those boots contained other things. And you could, I mean, not only did they come in with their boots on, but so did the odor. And I kind of picture, this is probably how the shepherds were viewed. You know, when they would come into town, people would kind of try to avoid them. Yet these are the men who God would choose to announce the birth of his son. Why would God choose shepherds? Kind of fits into what we talked about Christmas Eve. God tends to do the unexpected. Actually, Dr. Constable explains, he says that God has a way of using people of lowly origin and reputation to do amazing things throughout Scripture. But we have these men watching their sheep, possibly sitting around the fire, trying to keep warm, having no clue what's gone on, what's taken place. And then in verse 9, we see that an angel appears to these shepherds. Verse 9, it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Something else, when I think about shepherds, I think about them tending their sheep at night. I believe these were manly men. They weren't scared easily. I'm not one of those guys. I don't like snakes, and I don't like alligators. In fact, you may even say I'm a girly man. I don't go out into the woods north of the property. I stay away from those things. I'll work hard all day long, but I don't want to deal with a snake. I'm not one of those guys that goes down in the Everglades to hunt pythons. It's not going to happen. But I think these shepherds would be the guys that would head out and grab the pythons by around the head and haul them in. They're not afraid of much. They're used to protecting the sheep. I mean, they're out there at night. You know, they don't have any flashlights. There's no street lights. All they have is fire. And who knows what's outside. And yet we read this verse and we read, they're solely afraid. They're terrified. Because not only did the angel appear, notice what else it says. The glory of the Lord shone around them. The same glory of the Lord that when Moses was on the mountain, he would come down and he would have a glow about him. He would have to put a veil over his face. It's the same glory of the Lord that these angels would see in the middle of the night. You know, we think it's bad when somebody surprises us in the dark by flipping on the lights and our eyes hurt. I can't imagine what these shepherds must have been going through. Would have been like instant sunshine in the midst of the darkness. But then the angel tells these shepherds that the Messiah has come. So we continue on in verses 10 through 12. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." But the angel tells them to not be afraid. I wonder if that was enough to calm them down. When their hearts had to be beating out of their chests, as they looked upon this angel, as they saw the glory of the Lord surrounding it, they might have been wondering, is this real? Am I dreaming? Then we see the angel proclaim the news of Christmas, a message of joy, a message of salvation, not to just the nation of Israel, but to all people. Salvation would be coming through a baby boy that was lying in a manger. The baby boy is the anticipated Messiah. Notice the words that the angel uses. He did not say, a baby has been born and they've named him Jesus. Instead, they proclaim, Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They're making it clear to these shepherds that this baby boy is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. I have to wonder what must have been going through their minds. The angel would go on and tell them of a sign. I think God knew. God knew that they would have doubts. God knew that they might not believe. And the angel says, no, there's proof. You make your way into Bethlehem, and this is what you're going to find. You know, how many of us, you know, we hear a story and we're like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, I got a feeling that's how the shepherds were feeling. And they're like, no, all right, well, you're probably having some doubts here, but you can go and see it for yourselves. And the next few verses really don't tell us how the shepherds responded. But we're told that there was a multitude of angels that would now show up. Thank you. In verses 13 and 14. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on the earth, peace, goodwill towards men. I'm thinking if they were sorely afraid of one angel, how must they have felt when a multitude showed up? And I think with a multitude of angels, as they declared this truth, glory in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I think it had to be very loud. And they didn't sit there and say, did you hear that? I couldn't quite hear it. Maybe we should turn the television up a little more. No, I think it was declared with boldness and with loudness, and there was no question left in their mind. As we continue on, we see that the shepherds do. They go and see and to see if what the angel said was true. And we read that they go in haste. They don't waste any time. In fact, verse 15 and 16, we read, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. See, I have to believe that these shepherds were anticipating the Messiah. Because we see them react strongly. You know, it said, we're told, as soon as the angels have gone away, they have this conversation, let's go see. We're told they run into the city of Bethlehem. They go in haste. Anybody else wonder who's watching the sheep? See, I don't think they care at this point because of the news that they have heard. The sheep are no longer important. They have heard of the Messiah coming to this earth. Something they had been anticipating for years, something that their fathers and their grandfathers had been anticipating, and they hear news that it's taken place. And sure enough, as they make their way there, everything is as the angel had said. There was the little baby boy that would change the world laying before them in a manger. we continue on, we see their response. Verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. What's the first thing we do when we receive good news? We tell others, don't we? How fitting that we sang, "Go tell it on the mountains" this morning. I think these shepherds, they'd anticipated this all their life, and now they know that it's come true, and they're still trying to take it all in. I mean, they're still thinking, you know, here was this angel and a multitude of angels. And I think after seeing the baby, you know what they did? They went out into Bethlehem, and they went over, and they said, "Do you know what happened to us tonight? We're watching the sheep, and this angel said, oh yeah, we were scared, we were shaken, but we and this is what he told us. He said the baby was going to be born, and sure enough, we went, and they can't even, they're stumbling over their words, they're trying to get out so fast, and then they go over here, you know what happened to us tonight? You're not going to believe it. And then they keep moving through town, you know what happened to us tonight? On and on, and they would tell everybody the news, and they would tell everybody, listen, it's happened, it's taken place, the one we've been anticipating, he's here, he's been born. The Messiah, God is with us. And whatever they said must have been pretty convincing, because we see the people's response in verse 18. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Whatever the shepherds had said, even though they were despised by many, it must have been convincing. People were left in awe. Probably thinking, has this really happened? We've been anticipating this for so long. Is it actually here? The Messiah, the one who will save us? Meanwhile, as the shepherds are off sharing the story, we make our way back to the manger in verse 19, and we see that Mary just quietly took it all in. Verse 19, it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I have to wonder if this verse, verse 19, isn't what led Mark Lowry to write the song, Mary, Did You Know? We're told that she pondered all these things in her heart, or she meditated on those things. This had to be a moment as a mother she did not want to forget. Her life has been turned upside down for the past 9 months. She's just been given birth to a son. And if anybody knew for certain that Mary was a virgin, it was Mary. She knew she had not been with a man, yet she knows and found herself to be pregnant. She has to know that this boy is not an ordinary boy. She knows that he is the Messiah. And now these shepherds show up and just confirm it all the more. She doesn't want to forget. She's pondering on the events that have taken place, pondering all that has happened in the past 9 months. I bet, she would just love to have a cell phone to record all of this. This was a night that she didn't want to forget. And then Luke will shift back to the shepherds in verse 20. And we see that the shepherds worshiped God. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I think the reality set in, and it just left them thinking, there's nothing else to do but worship. There's They were so excited to hear the news. It's something that had been anticipated. The silence from God had been broken. The promised Messiah had come. But I think there's something that we can all learn from this morning. As we look at the nation of Israel, I believe there were those who were anticipating the Messiah. They were waiting, eagerly awaiting for this moment to take place. And I believe that had to be true of the shepherds for them to respond in the way that they did. You and I need that same kind of anticipation today. An anticipation that we are looking forward to seeing what God is going to do. And this anticipation that says our God is faithful, He will keep His promises. An anticipation that says although it appears the churches are on the decline, God promised that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We need to anticipate that that is true. Not only that, we need to anticipate the future that is in store for us. We need to anticipate that God will return. The rapture will take place. And it says we live with this anticipation, it will change the way that we live our lives. For one thing, I think living with anticipation will help us to stop trying to figure it out. The more I study God's Word, the more I understand that God doesn't fit into a box. And often I think as human beings, this is hard for us because we like to understand how things work. We like to understand, we want to be able to look at the events of our day and say, yep, this is what's going to happen next. We want to know it bit by bit and piece by piece. But as we've seen over this last week, God doesn't fit into the expected box. He often works in unexpected ways. And we see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus failed to meet the expectations of many. You know, for the Messiah to be born in a manger would be unexpected. For him to come from Nazareth would be unexpected. For him to be the son of a carpenter would be unexpected. It would be unexpected for him to die on the cross. And I believe as we look and live with anticipation, we can look forward to what God will do without having expectations. I believe we need to throw those expectations out the window. We just need to trust God and anticipate that He's going to do what He has promised. As we read from Revelation this morning, we should anticipate that day. I believe as we do this, it'll bring us comfort. It will help us to relax. It will keep us from worrying. You know, I would say one of the things that has been most disappointing about COVID, sometimes I think I talk about it too much from behind the pulpit, but it has been discouraging to listen to Christians talk. Because they have allowed this event over the past 2 years to cloud their judgment and to disrupt their faith. Folks, if God's going to call you home, He's going to call you home whether you're vaccinated or not. And if it's part of God's plan that you get COVID and as a result, He calls you home. Guess what? You're going to be in His presence. And yet I see Christians living in fear. I see Christians questioning others. And I'm thinking, folks, we've lost focus here. You know, this has all happened, but don't stop anticipating what God has promised. But I also believe that living with anticipation will help us focus on God and the work of Jesus Christ. I believe this is part of what Mary was doing as we read about her pondering all these things in her heart. She was just in awe. All that God would choose to use her in all that of who this baby boy really was. That the very Son of God had developed inside of her body. She didn't want to forget. And I believe as part of this, as we live in anticipation, it allows us to look forward to not to look back at what Jesus has done and look forward to what he will do. Now, there's a lot of the Bible, and often I think when we worship God, we focus on what God has done. But don't you think he's just as worthy of our worship because of what he is yet to do? And I think about that. So it's as we focus on what he's done, as we focus on his faithfulness, that it will allow us and give us the ability to anticipate what is to come and what he will do. Allow us to truly trust him and his word. And when he says he does all things for the good of those who love him, he truly does all things for the good of those who love him. He has a plan for each one of our lives, and we should anticipate God wants to use us and will use us to make a difference, to reach others with the gospel of Christ. Which leads us to the next point. Living with anticipation will help us share the gospel message. Right? The shepherds would leave Mary and Joseph, and what did they do? They told everyone. Why is this such a big deal? Because it was something they had been anticipating. It's because the silence of God had been broken. Again, 400 years, no prophecy, no dreams, no visions, nothing. And now all of a sudden the angels show up with this great message. Church, I want us to anticipate the things that are coming so we don't give up. Our Lord is coming back. Could be at any moment. And I think about that. We need to anticipate his coming and be much more, allow us to be more bold in our faith and sharing it with others. And when you eat dinner with that lost person, it may be the last time. You know, when you go out to the store and someone needs help and you lend them a hand, it may be an opportunity to share the gospel message. It may be an opportunity to invite them to church. You may not get another opportunity because the Lord could return at any moment, and we need to live in anticipation of that. But lastly, as we live with anticipation, it will help us worship God. As the shepherds, the last thing we read in this section of Scripture is the shepherds left, they left worshiping God. I don't know what's going on in your life this morning. As we take prayer requests, we can hear of all kinds of people with physical needs, and even a prayer request this morning of someone who was in their 50s who had a stroke and is needing to be put in a nursing home. And sometimes we can allow all the events and everything that is taking place to hinder our worship. But to those who are disabled because of a stroke, to those who maybe are struggling with heart problems or physical problems, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what you can anticipate this morning? A new body. A body that is free from not only the pains and aches of this world, but is also free from the bondage of sin. You know, and I think about that. Sometimes the struggles can keep us from worship, but when we anticipate God's promises, in Philippians, where it says Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his, It says we anticipate what God has in store for us. It can enhance our worship. And again, we need to anticipate the future, especially the future that and the promises that God's Word gives us with the expectation it's going to happen. As I said already, we can worship Him not only for what He has done, but for what He is going to do. If you're here this morning, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, I've got good news for you. Our future has already been taken place in God's eyes. The psalmist would say, every day ordained for me was written in His book before one came to be, in Psalm 139. And we can anticipate seeing Him face to face. We can anticipate being with Him forever. And it says we live with this anticipation. It will enhance our ability to worship Him. Again, I don't know where or all the details that are taking place in your life. Maybe you came in this morning, you're struggling, you've had a difficult month, a difficult year. Maybe you feel you just had a difficult life. That's okay. I would challenge you this morning to anticipate what God has in store for you. Anticipation can give you hope. Anticipation can enhance your life and allow you to be used by God to make a difference. And ultimately, isn't that what we want to do? Make a difference for Him in the time that He's given us? I pray that we can be a church that lives in anticipation, and in doing so, we can reach others with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for a time of year that we just focus in on the birth of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, even as is reflected behind me this morning of a manger below the cross, we know that the birth would lead to the cross. And it's at the cross that the price for our sins would be paid and the gift of salvation would be made available. And we thank You for that this morning. We thank You for loving us that much that You were willing to make such a great sacrifice. Lord, we just pray now that as we conclude our service this morning, that Your hearts would be encouraged from what we've heard today, and that if anyone needs to, they would just respond to the message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.